And now, the ringmaster of the conservative circus.
Circus, Afro circus, Afro circus, Afro polka dot, polka dot, polka dot, Afro.
This is the James T. Harris Show.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
You are listening to 104.1 KQTH, Tucson's News and Talk. I am the beautiful man. Standing right across from me is my sexy sidekick, Ross. Take your telephone calls at 751-1041. Mr. Charles in charge. Yes, my friends, this is your daily dose of madness.
This is madness.
A little slice of life known as a conservative circus brought to you exclusively on 104.1 KQTH. And we are in the circus hour, my friends. But this is a political season. And the circus hour sometimes just has to get kind of like moved down because, there's some circus things going on at TUSD. And I have in the studio right now a very special guest, Mr. Jim Loveless. Mr. Loveless is a Tucson businessman who has dedicated his time to a healthy TUSD. he's been working a lot. Jim served on the TUSD Audit Committee until Adelita Grijalva and H.T. Sanchez, Dr. Sanchez, wanted him off. Why? Because he was asking too many good questions. We welcome to the circus, Jim Loveless. How are you doing, sir?
I am well, and thank you for the kind words. I think I'm in the minority when I hear that sort of stuff, but again, thank you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we love to have you here. I have been sort of on, especially since I've met the education editor from the Arizona Daily Independent, I've had a sort of a bird's eye view of TUSD. Then we met her, and then I met some of the school board members, and we are absolutely just stunned every time we have them on and we're finding out how that board is run. We're finding out the shape that the school is in. And then when we find out about people like you who are actually involved trying to do something about it and you get turned away, well, that piques our interest. And we want to know why that is, how that happened, and everything that comes along with it.
Well, and again, that's interesting to hear because, you know, my background with the school district, I volunteered my time for the last roughly 12 years. You are correct. I am a CPA and a partner at a large firm. And yeah, so my direct involvement as a volunteer was both on the Bond Fiscal Oversight Committee, and I also chaired the Audit Committee. And ironically, I also was the treasurer for the 08 and 09 ballot initiatives when they were vying for an M&O override. And then I'd also like to just throw in that all of my kids are products of public education. So I myself not only give back professionally and personally, but again, I too am for pro public education.
I thank you for pointing that out. I thank you for pointing out that your kids are part of public education. And that you're volunteering your time and you're bringing your gifts and talents to a situation. And I'm glad you also mentioned how you served on these boards. So that brings me to my first question for you. The time you spent on the audit committee,
mm-hmm.
How did that come about and what ultimately happened?
Yeah, so I thought it was a 2-year term. It turned out it was a 4-year term. After I served 5 years on the Bond Fiscal Oversight Committee and the 8 and 9 ballot initiatives, I took a pause. But then I was asked to serve on the Audit Committee. The board of record back then, including the late Judy Burns and Bruce Burke and individuals of that background, had asked for me to consider being on the committee. And ironically, my term would have lapsed Q4 2015. I was 3-plus years into it, and after about a year or so, I was asked to chair it. And we thought we were asking a lot of good questions, a lot of tough questions. You alluded to that. And obviously, March 2015, Again, they don't like a lot of constructive criticism. A couple of things that we were trying to accomplish on the committee included the hiring of an internal auditor, and we were not making progress with that project. And so I wrote an op-ed to the local paper, and like I said, in March 2015, the title of that article was called Unforced Errors, and it was the fact that we were struggling trying to get to the finish line with an internal auditor. And from that day forward, I have found myself somewhat on ground zero with the school board of record.
You said they didn't like that. They didn't like the questions that you were asking. When you say they, who are you referring to?
Well, that, you know, who is the guy behind the box? I'm implying the school board, the majority block of record. There was no doubt the board president and her, the three block majority, took exception to some of the questions that me and my contemporaries on the committee were asking. And ironically, we had the A team. We had a retired budget director of a governmental entity. We had a retired CFO who was a CPA as well, of a large, very successful corporation, myself as a CPA and a partner in public. We also had an internal auditor of another governmental entity, and we also had an attorney, a local attorney, as well. So the committee was a solid group of individuals who really had a solid knowledge and understanding of governmental accounting, reporting, operations, things of that nature.
And you had the hardest time getting information. You had the hardest time setting up, what did you say? It was an independent auditor?
Well, we were trying to get them to hire, to create a position and hire an internal auditor.
Right.
Now, one of the things that they were struggling with, we believed, was transparency. And when you have an internal auditor, they can score and evaluate the risk and, you know, determining where they see some of those risks. Mm-hmm. Then the internal auditor can go out in the field and do day-to-day, procedures to identify and find ways to fix some of those holes.
You described your team, and I'm sorry, I had to go back for a moment because I'm very impressed. You describe what you basically called an A team. These were all volunteers?
And we were all volunteers. We were unpaid volunteers.
Wow.
But to the school district's credit, they had created the audit committee, which was a good thing.
Okay. To their credit, they created this committee, but when this committee started doing their job and asking tough questions, what I'm hearing is that the board became very resistant to what you were trying to do.
You betcha. And again, we were asking some pretty tough questions, digging into some pretty tough stuff, and we thought there was a lot of work left to be done. And then when I wrote that op-ed in March 15, 2015, and it was styled Unforced Errors, They clearly did not like the tone and the tenor of that. And ultimately, they did a charter change. There's a lot of controversy about did that come from the superintendent's office or the board. Quite frankly, it doesn't make me any difference. The fact of the matter is, in less than a few business days, they had approved this residency rule. And by definition, I did not personally live in the district. Nonetheless, I do have taxable property, so I have skin in the game.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. But they still punked you. What they did was, and we're talking about Dr. Sanchez or Grijalva, one of the two, or somebody who worked for them, changed the rules. Changed the rules in the middle of the game.
Well, that's certainly one way of putting it, and I wouldn't debate that.
And you ended up out.
Correct. And that was, early 2015. And again, it was interesting because my term would have lapsed late 2015 to begin with. So, that's how it ended for me. They asked me to attend a couple of more monthly meetings. They were trying to create this position. To the superintendent's credit, they did create the position, and he thought he had money in the budget. But as we speak, that position is still unfilled.
That is absurd.
On multiple levels. That is absurd that they got rid of you. That is absurd that the position is still not filled in. We have Mr. Jim Loveless in studio, my friends. He's a local businessman. As you can hear, he is competent as hell. Had an all-star team looking into the doings of TUSD. It got too hot. He's out. When we come back, I want to find out what's going on with that team, with the rest of the team members. And we have more questions about for Mr. Loveless. We thank him for being in the circus. You're listening to 104.1 KQTH. You are listening to 104.1 KQTH. We have Jim Loveless in the studio. He's a Tucson businessman who has dedicated his time to a healthy TUSD. As we heard, he had assembled an A-team that was part of the audit committee, but the board, the majority board, Dr. Sanchez, did not like the questions that were being asked. The things were rearranged. He was pushed out of that position. Mr. Loveless, welcome back to the show. What happened to the rest of the team? Are they still intact?
There is one person that's still there. Mm-hmm. The CFO, CPA, he and I were both outside the residency, the school district boundary, so we're out.
Oh, it was a twofer.
It was a twofer.
Okay.
And I'd be remiss, but there was a gentleman, the attorney, who's no longer there either. He, unfortunately, and I don't mean this in any other way except the kindest of sense, he passed away since then, the attorney. But they've also put new members on the board, and there was a lot of controversy around who those new members were. A couple of them clearly had conflicts of interest. They had to tighten that up.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Now, there is one successor CPA on there. I'll spare him his name, but I know him professionally. He's a good guy. And then again, the internal auditor, she's there still as well, and she too is a good person. So,
but you know, good people here, but they're not allowed to do their job. You guys were getting too close, they were getting too uncomfortable, so they broke up the squad and basically pushed you out. This whole resident thing is a bunch of crap. Which you had a bunch of people who were very qualified, very motivated. They were on your own time volunteering, and at the end of the day, Adelita Grijalva and Dr. Sanchez did not like transparency, and so they ended up destroying the one vehicle to it. Fair enough. Let me ask you another question here, because
okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just concurring with you, sir.
Well, you know, you said you're all about a healthy TUSD. Why does a healthy TUSD matter?
Again, a great question. I'm going to refer back to Robert Sarver. I'm sure most of your audience recognizes that name, but he's a Phoenix guy. He's a Tucson local, but he does business up in Phoenix. He was in town last February speaking to about 1,000 people or so with the CCIM crowd. And when he was asked how Tucson compete, how they can compete in today's market, he was very clear that there's three things that any city must have to compete. One, a broad, diverse, educated workforce. Hey. Two, an A-rated public school system. Imagine that. And then third, and certainly not last, but a government that appreciates and incentivizes businesses.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, sir. And he literally concluded that question by saying that Tucson has none of these and simply cannot compete.
Damn, that's brutal. And he's local. He works in Phoenix, and he comes back, and this is his assessment, that our schools are not A-rated, that we do not have a diverse, educated workforce, and that our government here, local government, is not business-friendly.
I want to clean up one point.
Come on.
I'm only talking TUSD because there's plenty of good public school districts out there.
Yes, but here's the problem. TUSD is the face of the city. There's lots of public schools out there, and there's lots of worthy private schools, but TUSD is the face of the city.
No debate with that, sir. and they are the largest school district. They're the second largest in the state, but they dwarf the rest of them by comparison.
So when we say I asked you, what is a healthy TUSD? Why does it matter? And here you give me this this report card. We can't even be like the president and say it's a B+. It's a straight up F.
Well, again, I'm going to do a little cleanup
here.
Come on! Okay. The Auditor General annually issues a report, and it's a district-wide scorecard. And the most recent one, they were a C-rated school district.
Oh, C!
Okay, I just want to be sure.
Not F, C.
But they do spend the most per student in all school districts down here. Okay?
Oh, an inflated C. This is inflated here. It's really a D minus, but be inflated it to a C because all the money that we spend. I see what you're saying. I'm
well,
being flippant here, but the reality here is the reputation of the district, the reputation of the city as being business unfriendly, of not having a diverse, competent workforce, but that the school district thing has been something that's been nagging for a while.
Well, and again, I only speak about TUSD, not other school districts. I don't have a professional
Correct.
Position on government and things of that nature. But clearly, TUSD is the largest district. I mean, listen, the reason why I got involved is there's still 46,000 kids that walk the halls of that campus every year, and they are the ones we do this for.
As much as I was, you know, I've spent my first couple of years ignoring that, but now I understand the reality of that. And this little checklist that that you just talked about is very important. When we come back, I'm going to hold Mr. Jim Loveless over here. I want to talk about an organization that he belongs to. And I also, your last name is Loveless. I don't want your wife to be mad at you. I know you got someplace to be, but it's important. You're doing this for the city.
Thank you.
You're listening to 104.1 KQTH. We have Jim Loveless in studio. I'm not going to keep him real long because, you know, he has a loving wife. I don't want him to be Loveless for real. It's just a last name. He's a Tucson businessman. He's dedicated his life to a healthy TUSD. He served on the TUSD audit committee until Edelita Grijalva and H.T. Sanchez wanted him off. Why? Because he and his team, his aid team of experts, were asking too many good questions. When we left off, I was asking you, you were explaining to us what a healthy TUSD or why a healthy TUSD matters. And it was really riveting. We've heard this type of stuff before. We've heard about how Tucson is lacking in a diverse workforce, educated workforce. We've heard about the horrible business atmosphere here. We've also heard, you know, about TUSD not being a type of school district that can act as a magnet is actually repelling people. But I wanted to, we're talking about part of the issues here with TUSD is transparency. They didn't want things to be known. So these problems, how and why are these problems that exist in TUSD, how and why are they allowed to exist? Jim Loveless.
Yeah, and I mean, everyone will be the judge of and decide for themselves how that came to pass and why it still is. But here's my independent expenditure committee's interpretation of that. We just simply think it's a lack of leadership on the board. The current 3-2 board, quite frankly, has made the problem worse. And we would like to see a regime change, and it's time for it. We're past time for it. I mean, with all the other surrounding areas growing and those school populations seem to be improving and getting better, here we are in a school district that at the top of the market was 70,000+ students, and today we're down to 46, okay? And so, I mean, again, you'll be the judge of how those metrics can be interpreted. But on the current board majority's watch, things have not improved. They've gotten worse. And so, again, I go back to we think it's just past time for a change of leadership.
I don't think that it is a coincidence that you use the term regime change. Because that's exactly, you know, I happen to be here. I got down to move to Tucson. With the show before Dr. Sanchez came on board. And I remember the excitement that a lot of people had with when he came on board. But I also remember how quickly he was co-opted, how quickly he was folded into the Grijalva machine, and how quickly things just began to deteriorate. Even in the 4 or 5 years that I've been here, I've seen TUSD go from the controversy of the Mexican-American studies thing to just graft, if you will, to cabals. And the present board with Grijalva, Foster, Juarez, mm-hmm. How and Sanchez together, how things have become absolutely corrosive for teachers. There's no freedom of speech in the board meetings. There's people getting cut off. And now we learn about what happened to you and the board that was put together. This is absolutely insane. I keep forgetting, though, and I'm glad you brought this up, how the student population has eroded over the last 3 years as well. That's something that often gets dropped. But the money has not, they still have a large amount of money that they're dealing with, even though their school population is diminished.
Their 15-16 total budget was $600 million, and I'm rounding. That's what accountants do. And I do want to make point of one thing. TKF, my independent expenditure committee, is all about the board who are elected and have voting records, which we believe they should be held accountable. This is not about site staff. This is not about teachers. This is not about principals. They do prodigious work, folks. We are all about that board who are elected and a voting record, and they need to be held accountable.
Okay, tell us about TUSD Kids First Organization.
Sure. So we formally launched our independent expenditure committee about March of 2016. The primary concern that we have comes from a collection of business owners, me and my co-chair, Kathy. She too is a business owner. We had a lot of input from parents, teachers, just a collection of and a cross-section of the community who all agree this is the 800-pound gorilla in the room that needs to be addressed. And so ultimately we put together this campaign and trying to get the message out there, trying to inform the voters and see if we can't, hold this current board majority accountable for the trials and tribulations on their watch.
Well, you know, I am glad to hear that, you know, a lot of times we're out there and we're hammering away with stuff. We hear a story and I wonder who else is paying attention? Well, I don't necessarily think the mainstream media in this town is paying attention, but we had David Morales in the studio last week. Whoever would have thunk? We've had a woman who's running for the school board, Betts, who heard him, and so she came on board. We've been having an ongoing conversation with other school board members here, and there seems to be something coalescing, Mr. Lovelace, in which I think a lot of people from different quarters
mm-hmm.
are seeing the same problem, and that problem is the cabal that currently runs TUSD, from Sanchez to Grijalva and the other majority board members who absolutely are unresponsive to the concerns that are happening in that school district.
I agree. Somebody asked me a question, you know, so what are we about? How did this problem exist? What are we trying to accomplish? And so I compared it to running any organization, whether you're a business for profit, whether you're a nonprofit. Look, folks, if your metrics, both financially and operationally, and in their case, collectively, were all negative, you'd fire somebody.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, these are elected positions. And so, again, I go back to our entire endeavor is about holding this current board majority accountable for their voting record. And the subsequent board, whoever that may be, good luck on the campaign trail. Now, we intend to hold them accountable as well. And so, as a watchdog group, we intend to stay on the trail, both
Holy
in
God.
The current election cycle and subsequent.
Transparency, holding people accountable. This is the thing that has not happened. You're absolutely correct. You can't fire someone, but you can vote them out. And that's exactly what we're targeting. One of our two targets is we got our eye on the Board of Supervisors, and we got our eye on TUSD. And the only way we're going to stop having these horrific stories, the only way we're going to have a shot at turning one of these metrics around, and that is the school board is to, or the school district is to change that board. How can people help, and where can they find more information about you and TUSD Kids First?
Great, and I appreciate the question. There's a couple places you could go on our website, www.tusdkidsfirst.org. You can certainly like us on Facebook. We'll always take any time, talent, treasury, or combination thereof. You know, we're in the candidate survey period. We look to make some endorsements, and ultimately, you know, it takes a bunch of people to run an organization and a campaign that we're trying to pull off. But so far, so good. We've stuck to our calendar and our strategy. We've got some more stuff coming up, and you know, again, anybody that wants to weigh in and, you know, put a sign in your yard, a bumper sticker on your car, treasury to the checkbook, we'll take any or all.
Well, you strike me as a very organized individual, you know, counting all that kind of stuff. If you, I don't know if you noticed, but this is not a tight ship, but it is a very but it's just, Ross would argue with you. Ross would say that I am a very organized individual in my mind. But what I want, all that to say, we want to help you as a watchdog organization, when something comes up, especially you said you had a candidate you're going to endorse.
A candidate survey.
Survey. We want to, when you have that ready, we want to have you back. You can give us a heads up at any time between now and elections, of course. We want to help you make sure that the public is very well educated on who it is that's running, what they stand for, and just to help more Tucsonans be involved in this process, to volunteer their time, much like you and the team that you had put together earlier have done, because that is the only way we're going to have effective change.
Somebody's got to be an agent of change, and I'll close, if there's time permitting. Tomorrow night at the Caremore Center, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is moderating the first candidate forum, where all seven candidates of record, as far as we know, will all be there, both the three incumbents and the four first-timers. And I believe it's at 6 o'clock, but you can go onto our Facebook page or on the Chamber of Commerce website. They are asking for RSVP.
Jim Lovelace, I really appreciate you making time for the circus this afternoon. We're going to be talking to you again very soon.
We appreciate the opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, download the podcast. Share this one. We are not alone in our concerns from TUSD. There are citizens, again, citizens that are stepping up to the plate, doing their part to ensure that the candidates are well represented in this next election, and with the hope of fundamental transformation on this TUSD board. You are listening to 104.1 KQTH.